Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's one of our most decorated athletes.
He's done it.
A Paralympian.
I'm such a proud Paralympian. I'm proud of my disability.
A podcast host.
This isn't a podcast for people with disability. It's a podcast for everybody.
An entrepreneur.
So I've got a consulting firm. I've got a food company, the Dylan Allgott Foundation. I work on radio. I've got my own podcast.
And fur father.
I never thought a dog would take over my life as much as it is.
Hi, I'm Damien Huffington and welcome to Real Life from 7 News. He's a face and a voice we all know, but how much do we know about the man behind the trophies and the medals? I sat down with Dylan Allgott to find out more about his real life off the tennis court. And a note, we recorded this interview just before he announced his plans to retire from tennis in 2022. Dylan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, mate. Great to be here.
Now, let's get started because obviously a lot of people know you as a Paralympian. Can you explain your disability?
Yeah, so I was born with a tumour wrapped around my spinal cord that was cut out when I was a couple of days old. So I think I had about 20 operations by the time I was 3.5, which probably wasn't the most fun thing kids could be doing. But I've been a paraplegic ever since then and known nothing different than being in a wheelchair pretty much. So. I'm very lucky to be living the life that I live, so I kind of gloss over it a bit because it doesn't really bother me too much.
How did you find growing up?
Tough.
Yeah.
Well, parts awesome. I found primary school no dramas, but like early high school struggled a bit just with being different, not being able to keep up with friends, had a bit of trouble with bullying, a few things like that, which made it pretty hard for me, mate. But, I'm almost kind of glad I went through those tough times because I think it made me a better person in the long run. But, I'm lucky I got over it. A lot of people with disabilities don't. Young kids with disabilities because they might not have that, kids can be brutal and it's hard to get yourself, out of bed every day. And I think there probably needs to be more learnings in education around schools and about disability because it's kind of untalked about a bit. And hopefully now there's more representation in the media and stuff. That's kind of why I'm passionate about doing what I'm doing to try and change some of those perceptions so especially young people can live better lives.
I was going to say, obviously, you being in the public spotlight now, the Paralympics obviously being quite a big thing now, do you find a lot of kids still struggle with, being different, being teased, being bullied for being just that little bit different?
For sure. I mean, it's always going to happen. I mean, it'll happen to you, probably happen to everyone, but I think when you're sitting in a wheelchair or you're blind or you've got cerebral palsy or you speak different or you have autism or whatever, it's just another angle that can happen. And, it breaks my heart thinking about it, to be honest, but hopefully it's helping. That's why being a good, my purpose in life is not winning gold medals and grand slams, mate. It's changing perception so people with disability can live better lives. And that's why I get out of bed. Being a good tennis player is probably the 38th priority on my list, mate. Being a good person, good family member, good parent to my dog, good partner to Chantel, and then being a good advocate as well. So hopefully it's making a difference. That's why, even in a very small way, mate, hopefully, helping some people out there.
Obviously, sport was something that helped you along the way. What actually got you into it in the first place?
I think wanting to be like my brother played a big role, being from Australia. you kind of have to play sport, don't you? Everyone tries to get involved. And I was always the team manager or the timekeeper or some BS like that. And I just got over it. And then when I found Paralympic sport, it was so important to me, not just because of the physical aspect, but the social aspect as well, because I've met people like me. I saw people like me. And it was so powerful, mate. It changed my life. And I'm forever indebted to Paralympic sport because without it, mate, we wouldn't be talking right now, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. You've represented Australia in both basketball and tennis. Do you have a favourite between the two, or was it hard?
Nah, probably even. I mean, I have to say even, otherwise my old teammates or current coach will not be happy. But I think winning gold in Beijing with the team was pretty awesome because you're with your teammates, you know what I mean? And they've been through all kinds of dramas to get there, you know, from trauma and all kinds of stuff. But so that was special. Winning gold as an individual was also pretty special, you know, because you did it yourself. So I really can't split them. But I will say, you know, getting a tan at Wimbledon is probably better than cold basketball stadiums. at the moment I'm enjoying tennis, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. What made you split towards tennis rather than basketball?
I felt like I lost a bit of that passion for basketball. I'm a firm believer in passion and purpose. And if you don't have passion, you don't have the drive to get better. And I lost that passion. So that I quit basketball to get a job in the media. To try and get a job in the media. But then to get a job in the media, you know, I wanted to get, you know, I needed to look the part and things like that. So I decided to have a hit of tennis. And you know what? I just was better than I thought, than I remembered. And I'm pretty glad I made the switch back, put it that way.
Well, I was going to say, you've had a stellar few years on the court. It's culminated in that Golden Slam earlier this year. The first male to ever do so, which is big, obviously. How did that feel?
Oh, bloody awesome, mate. I couldn't believe it. I just did a talk. It's next to, here's the, look at that. Boom. There's the gold from
amazing
from Tokyo. It's the, no one's barely seen that. So I just still can't believe it. Look at me. I can't even talk about it. It's just like, I think I was so lucky and grateful that I got to go away and do my job this year. And a lot of people didn't have that opportunity, you know? So I'm very lucky. But I will say I probably underestimate how much heart, like to be up and about every day and not play one single bad match all year took it out of me. You know what I mean? Because if you play a bad match, you lose, your Golden Slam's over. You know what I mean? So, the support during the Paralympic Games, just everyone was just incredible. And, you know, when I first came back to tennis, there was probably about four people watching me and three of them were my family. Now, you know, millions of people watching on TV, full grandstands, and the generation before me didn't get the recognition they deserve. And I'm getting it, and I just want to leave the sport in a better spot for the next generation to come. But yeah, to be the first ever male in any form, you know, of tennis to win the Golden Slam, pretty crazy, you know, when you say it, I can't believe it.
Yeah, well, just on that, obviously the Paralympics and Paralympians seem a lot more visible now. It was on commercial TV this year, 7 was broadcasting it. Do you see a lot more visibility from your point of view for Paralympians now?
Oh, bloody oath. I mean, we're live on TV every night. That wasn't around when I was a kid, and it should have been. But it's just, you know, and there might have been a few. What I was really happy about the Paralympics is, yeah, you might have known my name, you might have known Kurt Fairley's name, whatever, but now you know lots of names, right? You know lots of names across different sports, which is what they deserve. And I was really proud of the way that my teammates spoke as well. What was coming out of there? I'm redundant now. You don't even need me. Like, they were all bloody incredible advocates for people with disability. And, I'm such a proud Paralympian. I'm proud of my disability. And it's just, you know, it's cemented now as every 4 years is going to be in the prime time and people are going to watch, mate. And that's what we've been trying to do for years. And it's pretty cool.
And I think it was great also to see people like Ellie Cole fronting TV ads for the first time and getting ambassadorships for companies as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I've been so lucky that, you know, I've been doing that for ANZ and other brands for, for years and Kia and stuff like that. But like I turned on the TV, mate, there was bloody Paralympians everywhere. I didn't get any. Where are my ads? No one gives a crap about me. And I like, mate, I'm being serious. I loved that. You know what I mean? Like Ellie, Matty De Rosario, Curtis, there was Jared Clifford. You know, I'm sponsored by Nike. I didn't even get a Nike ad. Mate, Jared, I thought I was the Nike guy. Bloody Jared Clifford got it, which, you know, I'm only joking. I was so stoked for him, you know? And that's what you need. You can't just have one or two people with disabilities. It's not about that. It's about, but this permeates greater than sport. Hopefully it means people get employment opportunities, education opportunities, dating opportunities, you know? We represent something that is pretty special, the Paralympic Games, but it's all about bringing that into everyday life now as well.
Talk about going out on a high. You announced that Tokyo was your last Paralympics. How did you come to that decision?
It's just I'm washed up, mate. I'm old. I'm almost 31. So, yeah, no more Paralympics. I knew that was going to be my last. When it got delayed a year, I definitely knew it was going to be my last. Like, I was hanging on. So, yeah, I'm still playing tennis, though. I'll be around for a little bit, but just won't be making it to the 2024 games, that's for sure. But, mate, I'll be there in some capacity watching or working on TV or something like that.
And, of course, you're going to miss out on Brisbane.
Mate, I'll be like 42 by Brisbane. That's way too old. I'll be like losing first round. And I enjoy winning, so I don't want to be that guy that's hanging on, you know, just hanging on and not getting the results done. So, yeah, I think I've got a lot of other things that I do. My consulting company, GSA, where we educate people about disability. My foundation, where we help young kids with disability achieve their dream. I'm really enjoying all that stuff, and it's all the media work. It's hard spinning all the plates at once, so I've got to start looking after myself.
Well, hopefully Seven's a broadcaster by then as well, and we can bring you on board and you can be a commentator.
Bloody oath, mate. I'll be ready.
Absolutely. When do you think that you will retire from playing tennis overall?
Don't know. What I do know is I've still got a bit left in me and I enjoy it, but... You know, I love the Australian Open, and love my last Aussie Open was in front of no crowds, you know. It sucks. So we'll see what happens after this one. But, mate, I don't get too far. I used to get ahead of myself, and it used to get me into trouble. Now, just got to keep improving every day and just bloody enjoy life, to be honest. I'm so lucky to be doing what I'm doing, mate. So we'll see what happens.
You've touched on it already, but what do you get up to when you're not competing? Because obviously there's training, but you mentioned the charity and that before. Do you have a job? Do you study? Like, what do you get up to outside of the tennis arena?
Mate, I do everything, unfortunately. I don't sleep much. So I've got a consulting firm called GSA where we educate people about disability. We've got 50 consultants and they've all got a disability. How cool is that?
Wow.
I've got a food company called Able Foods where we do ready-made meals for people with disability on the NDIS. Got the Dylan Allgraff Foundation. I work on radio. I got my own podcast called Listen Able where we highlight and profile the lives of people living with or affected by disability. And it's not a podcast for people with disabilities. It's a podcast for everyone to try and change perceptions. I'm a brand ambassador for a lot of different organizations. I'm really lucky to be doing what I'm doing. Mate, I've just become a dad as well.
Really?
Yeah, to my dog Sauce.
Oh.
Yes, come on.
A fur baby.
Fur baby, yeah. He's we got him. He's a COVID baby, but he's a beautiful boy. He's about a year and a half. He's a mini dash hound. And mate, he's more famous than I am. We just partnered with the Nosh Project, which is human grade food for dogs. So we were really worried about, you know, we really want to look after him. And I feel like a bit of a cop-out because I look after what I eat, right? I'm an athlete. I want to do the same for my dog. So, yeah, we partnered with Pet Barn and the NOS Project. So you can eat this food, human-grade food. I think it's got like 27 nutrients in it that dogs can – and he scoffs it down, mate. He bloody
wow.
He's – mate, he's been a great addition to the family. So, one, I can't remember the name, Sauce, great name, I reckon, for a sausage dog. But yeah, me and Chantel, he pretty much runs our life these days. We love him that much, which is pretty cool.
I was going to say, does that mean that you can like split a meal with your dog now, a bit of lady in the tramp action?
Human grade food, you could. So it's made from the same place where they make like restaurant ingredients and all that kind of stuff. So he's, I never thought a dog would take over my life as much as it is, but he's a beautiful boy. And we're happy that we're getting him the good stuff with the Nosh.
Do I dare ask where the name sauce came from?
Well, you can't have a sausage without sauce, can you? You like it?
Yeah. I figured that was okay. I was almost going for it like Bunnings. Here, Bunnings.
True. No. We love him. We walked down the street and people could not give a crap about me. They're like, is this sauce? Like, I'm telling you. Like, Chantel's also got a great profile. She's a sexologist. And we walked down the street together. People do not care, mate. It is, everyone goes, is this sauce? Oh, my God, sauce. It's the famous sauce. So, yeah, he's a good man.
All right. Well, as long as you can ride those coattails at some point, that's fine.
We will, man. I'm washed up. It's all about the saucy man now.
You've talked about your podcast and all that sort of thing. It seems like you've got this burgeoning media career there. I think you also mentioned that that's what you wanted originally. Triple J's in there, Hit Weekends, your own podcast. You know, is that something that you want to do long term? Like, if we offered you some commentating, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So, I obviously started commentating on Seven when they used to have the tennis, and I'm on Nine now commentating, and you know, I love that kind of stuff. And what I will say is, you know, I've got TV shows ideas. I want to do some acting actually. Home and Away, hit me up.
I think we can help with that.
I've got a script idea that I'm writing. Can't give too much away. So yeah, there's all these different things that I want to do. So even when the tennis wraps up, I think there will be some more, you know, hopefully you'll be hearing more of me. If you don't like me, unfortunately, you will be. But yeah, man, I'm really enjoying the work in the media and stuff that I do, so definitely.
Well, so do you ever sleep? It doesn't sound like it.
I do. I try and I'm a bit nocturnal, but you know, you got to get busy living, because what's the point otherwise? So, but yeah, I've also got to look after myself. So I got some decisions to make. You can't keep spinning all the plates at once, because you run out of juice. And when you run out of juice, you get sick and that, so you got to look after yourself as well, that's for sure.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've mentioned your girlfriend Chantel being a sexologist. How did you guys meet, and did that set some high expectations when you got together?
Yeah, I was nervous. I was nervous as, mate, the first time. Imagine. She's like the world leader in sex, so I was a bit nervous. But she's such a beautiful person. Best thing that ever happened to me, to be honest. And I'm really proud of the work that she does. You know, I'm trying to normalize disability so people can live the lives they deserve to live. And she's doing exactly the same with sexual health and well-being. And what a superstar, you know. And I'm so lucky she came into my life. We've, you know, been together for years now. And as I said, mate, it's just the best thing that have happened, you know. And I'm really proud of what she does in her industry.
Was it a book signing that she met you at?
Yeah, I met at a book signing, my book signing, but she didn't have no idea who I was. She came to the meet her, no idea. And then she left. And I was like, where'd you go? Because I was looking at her. And then she put up a thing on her Instagram saying, oh, this book by this guy Dylan talks about sex and disability. And I was like, where did you go? You know what I mean? So that was pretty cool.
You're pretty open about it, obviously. Do you find some people are taken aback by that?
Look, we're open about it in the right opportunities. And then, you know, online platforms bring it up all the time. That's not us always bringing it up. But, mate, the hardest part about me growing up in my life was insecurities about my dating life, easily. Like, I can't even tell. I mean, maybe it was the same for you. It's all the same for all of us, but it's like times are by a thousand when you have a disability. So, you know, if we can help people by talking about it, we're not going to not, you know what I mean? And if you don't want to read about it, no worries. Just don't read it. So, but, you know, it's important, because so many people with disability get left out of the dating pool because people think you can't do it, but that's not true. So, you know, we're going to keep talking about it to normalize it. So people get the best thing about my life is my relationship, right? Imagine if you never had one, because people think you couldn't. That's not fair. So we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't do it.
What is the number one question that you get asked in that area? Because I imagine there's quite a few, and you probably get the same one a lot, but what's something that people ask you a lot?
Yeah, it's definitely can you have sex and can you feel it and all that kind of stuff. So everybody can have sex in any way they can have sex. Right? You all have sex differently. That's not what you see online. So no matter your disability, you can do it in whatever way you can do it. You know what I mean? And there's many different ways that you can do that. So that's what we kind of talk about. It's just like, don't be scared to, one, try it if you're disabled. And two, if you're able-bodied and you see someone cute at a bar who is blind, who has, you know, who is in a wheelchair, has one leg, has a sensitive, a non-physical disability, whatever it is, go up and buy them a drink. Don't be scared, you know, have a crack. Why wouldn't you? You do it with everybody else. So it's about breaking down that taboo. That's why we're comfortable, I guess, asking the questions as well. Lots of people ask me how I managed to pick up Chantel as well, because not only very talented, but obviously very beautiful as well.
Absolutely. I think we should wrap up with what is the biggest misconception that people have about people with disabilities overall? Maybe not yourself so much, but just in general.
Oh, the biggest misconception is the unconscious bias people have of people thinking that we can't do anything. Unemployable, undateable, can't have sex, don't work, don't travel, aren't consumers, don't consume media, don't go to restaurants, don't bank, don't do anything, right? And when you get left out of not only the employment pool, but the consumer pool and the dating pool, what's there left to do? So we need to try and eliminate some of those unconscious biases together so people can get out and live the lives they deserve to live. That's the number one thing.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say that, like, your attitude is amazing. So positive, obviously so encouraging of all the people around you, teammates, all that sort of thing. So it's been such a pleasure to chat to you, and all the best success for what's moving forward, whatever that may be, because I think it's clearly going to be plenty of things.
Good on you, mate. Really appreciate you having me here. Thanks so much.
So great to chat to Dylan. What a great guy. And my thanks to Dylan for taking time out of his busy schedule for that chat. We've got more real life stories to tell. Make sure you subscribe or follow so you get the latest episodes as they're released. And you can head to 7news.com.au/real life for more on these stories as well. For 7 News, I'm Damien Huffenden, and this has been Real Life.